Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Hallelujah. I mean, we've been having a time. Hallelujah. You ever been to church and you look at other folk and you like, man, they just look like they getting blessed, but I don't feel nothing. Anybody ever been there? Don't raise your hand. Usually it ain't the Holy Spirit. It's you. Glory, glory. Now I'm going to three different places to Scripture tonight. And so I want you to go there with me. I want to preach on the subject, fire. A real necessity, or a revival necessity. If you want to have a personal revival, and that's what we need. I don't care how on fire for God you are, everybody under the sound of my voice needs or should desire a personal revival. Now, we just came out of two nights of revival, and I hope that you got revived, but you need a personal revival that doesn't come from somebody else. It comes from the Holy Spirit. That it comes from the Holy Ghost. Fire. A revival necessity. If you want to have true revival. Now, years ago, revival, we used to think, means when you had a guest speaker come in and a lot of folks would get saved. Well, that's not the true meaning of revival. Revival means to revive something that was already alive. So, I'm telling you that you and I need to live in a constant state of revival. Why? I'll tell you why. Because we live in a fallen state. We live in a fallen world. And all throughout your day, all throughout your week, there are people and stuff and things that are pulling on you and draining you. And if you don't have a constant supply of replenishing your reservoir, then you're going to find yourself empty, busted, and disgusted. So we've got to make sure that we stay in a constant state of revival. Now that doesn't mean that we have series of services all the time, but it does mean that you systematically, on a regular occasion, plug in to the power source of Jesus Christ. Now see, it's one of the things, I don't know about you, but every night, here, my iPhone, every night, if I get in the car, I plug it in. When I get home and I start to go to bed, I plug it in by my bed. If I see that the battery's getting low, and matter of fact, it even has a warning on it that flashes and tells me battery at 20%. That means that I've either got to not use it or I've got to plug it in. And it comes up again at 10% and said, battery at 10%. And then here's what something my iPhone tells me. It says, it gives me the option to go into low battery power mode. And I think that most Christians live there. In low battery power mode. And you know what that means when it goes into low battery powered modes? It means that it wasn't doing the things that it was doing when it was fully charged. My God, somebody needs to hear me. It means that the things that it feels like is not necessary has closed off those apps, those applications, so that it can save the battery. And I see Christians doing this all the time. Because we get so tired, we get so drained that we close off all other extracurricular activity in God so that we can save and do those things that we feel like are needful, whether it be on the job or whether it be in our family or just the things that we have to do. But I've come by to tell you tonight that you don't have to wait to get to church, to get plugged in. You don't have to wait to get in your car. You have a perpetual power source, which is the Holy Ghost. And we've got to have the fire of God in our lives if we declare that we're going to have revival. Now let's read our text tonight. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 3. Give me some help up here, brother. Matthew chapter 3 verse 9 says, "And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees, does not bear good fruit. It is cut down and thrown into the fire." Hallelujah. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what?
Fire.
Say it again. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with
fire.
Acts chapter 2, verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of
fire.
And it sat upon each of them." Hallelujah. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. "Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken," can you say hallelujah? "Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming
fire."
Our God is a consuming fire. Now I want to focus on tonight, on having personal revival. And I want to talk about, what's it going to take for the church of Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about just our church. I'm talking about every church. What's it going to take for the church of Jesus Christ to truly have revival? I'm going to tell you, we're looking, oh, help me, Jesus. We're looking for the next president to straighten out the country. And some of you are looking for the next preacher or me to straighten you out. But what we've got to understand is there is some responsibility on my end. If I will make my family unit to be godly, it's going to help our country. If I help my family unit to learn how to work, how to give an honest day work, for an honest day pay. Some of you business owners know what I'm talking about. You can't get people. You can't get people to come and give you a good day's work. I'll tell you what happened to me yesterday. I'm telling you, I almost had to repent. Because I just about whooped somebody yesterday. I was already tired. And they came through the front door. Becky did her best to keep me away from them because of the fact that they was already talking noise. So anyway, I walked out. I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. I walked out there and I said, "Can I help you?" He said, "Are you the pastor?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Are you the main pastor?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Are you the one that makes decisions?" I said, "Yes, I am." He started giving me this sad stop story about, you know, and I don't mean sad stop story, but he started giving me this story. His wife has been in their apartment all day crying and this, that, and the other, and they need some help. I said, well, okay, well, you happen to be here at the right time. We got food that we're going to give you, and you know, we're going to bless you with about 30, 40 pounds of food. And he goes, well, I'm going to need somebody to take me back to my house because I can't tote all them groceries on my bicycle. I said, they do it every week. People come up here. I said, you can do it. He said, well, maybe you could just give me a gift card. I said, nope, ain't going to happen. He said, well, can I ask some of them people over there if they'll give me a ride? I said, you sure can. He said, can you give me a ride? I said, nope, I'm going to pick somebody up. I ain't got time to give you no ride. He said, and then he said, well, can I? He said, what time is church on Wednesday night? So I told him, I don't see him here tonight. Yeah, I told him what time church is, and he said, do you have a bus? I said, yes, we do. You want us to pick you up? He said, yeah, I'd like that. I said, okay, so we wrote his name down, got his address, and got him off. And then he said this, he's got ready I was trying to get him out the door because I had things to do, and he said, well, if I go over there and get food, can I ask some of them people for some money? I said, no, you can't. He said, here's his words. But I know how to ask for money without saying something. You know what I mean? I said, yeah, I know what you mean. He said, I can make my face look at a certain place, look down and like depressed. You know what I mean? I said, I know exactly what you mean. I said, if you do that, I'm going to kick you off this property. He said, well, if I come to church, do you care if I do it with the church people? I said, yes, I do. And I said, Don't be upset with me. I said, you a smoker? He said, no. I said, I smell it on you. He said, my wife is. I said, that's $5 a pack. I said, what you need to do is get off them cigarettes and help yourself. And then he said, well, I'm going to come Wednesday. I said, no, you ain't. Matter of fact, Becky, erase his address. We ain't picking you up. I said, you need a church, but this ain't the one, because I'm about to whoop you, son. I said, what you need to do is get your lazy behind on that bicycle and pedal yourself right on up out of here. I said, because what you need to do is get some self-respect and get you a J-O-B job and quit trying to beg off of everybody else who's working hard. So now get out of here. Now I know I may get a letter on that, but that's all right. Send them on. Pastor Steve at CrystalRiverCOG.com. Listen, I'll give you the shirt off my back, but if you try to steal it, you try to manipulate it, I'll whip you all over this yard. I don't play that. But that's where we have come to as a culture, and we look down on people like that, and we get mad with people like that, but we've come to that place in a spiritual culture that we want somebody else to get it and then give it. When God said that you can have it if you just apply yourself for it. My God, somebody hear me. You ain't got to wait for somebody to come in. You ain't got to wait for me to lay hands on you. You ain't got to wait for Miss Bobby to lay hands. All you got to do is lay your hands on the altar of God and stay there till you be endued with power from on high. See, where we've gotten to is this. We want a huge return for the minimum amount of investment. No matter what it is. No matter what it is. We want that in the stock market. We want that. We want it, you know, hey, don't I get a paycheck? I just showed up. I know I had to take 4 breaks. And it's not even 12 o'clock yet, but at least I showed up. Come on, somebody. But we do that at church. We come in and we sit down and we begin to worship, and you just stand there and wait for the worship team to worship for you. You can't do that. You're not going to get revival fire that way. You're not going to get revival fire. Now listen, revival fire is contagious, but if you don't have something to stock the fire with, once you get ablaze, then it's just going to go out and it's going to be a very short time. That's why you got to have something on the inside of you called a relationship with God, because if I plug in my cell phone to the power source, I can talk all day. Because as long as the power stays on, I got power. This power I'm talking about is the power of the Holy Ghost. It is dunamis power, that it never runs out. It never runs dry. There is never in short supply. Each of us, or each of the texts that we just mentioned tonight, it mentions fire. So there's got to be something about this fire thing, church. So let's talk about it in the beginning. The beginning. All right? If we ever want the fire of God to fall on our lives, we must worship. Why? Because He inhabits the praises of His people. See, now I don't have time to preach all this. But remember when Moses, when they were fighting against the Amorites, I believe it was, and Moses was up on the hill with his hands raised, and you know, and I know this seems a little silly, but I think about it sometimes that as long as he was plugged in, they were winning. But when he got tired, his hands started coming down, they started losing. And Aaron and Hur got on either side of him and helped him keep it plugged in. And they plugged him in, and he kept on, and as long as his hands was raised, as long as he kept plugged into the power source, they continue to win. I've come by to tell you that you do not have an option. You cannot coast through this thing called life. You cannot coast through this thing called revival. If you want revival in your life, if you want revival in your family, if you want revival in your finances, revival in your life, revival in your marriage, you must have the fire of God, and the only way to get that fire of God and keep it is staying plugged in to the power source, which is Jesus Christ, the author, the finisher of our faith. Well, praise the Lord. Worship is the only prequel to what God is only a prequel to what God really wants for you. It doesn't take a lot to worship. It just takes effort. It takes effort. All right? In any fire, there are several components of that fire. All right? First of all, there's the ashes. The ashes, the residue of that which already burned up. And so many of us are still trying to get the ashes to burn. Ashes, I'm not talking about embers right now, I'm talking about ashes. Ashes is the residue of that which was already burned up. Well, I tell you right now, preacher, I remember back in the day. Well, why don't you remember it now? Listen, I remember I was on fire back in the day, and I can tell you this, I'm on fire today. I can tell you that I'm as just excited. I you know, I'm a little older. I can't do all the things that I once used to do, but I still worship like I've always worshiped, because I understand the true power of when I begin to worship, God plugs me in, and all of the stuff of today, all the stuff of yesterday, all the stuff of the week, all of the things that I've been through, they begin to just disappear because I begin to get filled up with the power of Almighty God. If you want all of your problems, your anxiety, to stay out of your life, stay full of the fire of God. Now, when I was a boy, we had a wood-burning fireplace. And every couple of days, I had to take the ashes out from under the fireplace. I had a brush that I would brush them and put them into a pan and take the pan outside and dump them. And can I tell you that if I didn't do that from time to time, that bless God, the fire would be snuffed out because it couldn't get enough oxygen. And some of us are so enamored with yesterday and what used to be that you don't even know what is. Oh, I'm preaching better than you. Amen. That's all right, though. I came with a preaching this evening. So there's the ashes, the residue of that which has already burned up. But then there's the fuel, that which is burning. Most of its time, it's wood. You put wood on the fire, you got to cut the wood. You got to prepare the wood. You got to season the wood. Ooh, thank you, Holy Ghost. See, the problem with some of us is we're trying to live on just now's praise. You're trying to live on just now praise. I'm not living on just now praise. I'm living on yesterday's praise. My praise is seasoned. I got seed in the ground. I'm not just looking for a harvest today. I'm not looking for a harvest on the seeds I planted tonight when I was worshiping. I'm not looking just for a harvest today on the seeds that I planted a sacrifice of praise tonight. No, I've been doing that all of my life. And so I look back on all the seeds that I've already planted, all the wood that I've already cut, and it's being seasoned. And if I just throw it on the fire, then honey, the fire of God's going to burn in my life. The problem with so many of us is we're using the wrong fuel. You're trying to use the fuel of somebody else. Trying to use the fuel of today's society. You're trying to, you know, honey, listen. Cut the wood. It takes effort. Well, there's the fuel that which is burning, but then there are the flames, which is the most visible and hottest portion of the fire. But it's only flaming because somewhere along the line, it was ignited, it had oxygen, and it began to burn. Now, you can have, I'm going to mess with some of you right here. I think it's my next one. You can have the Holy Ghost and not have the fire of God burning deep within you. We think we Pentecostals are some of the world's worst. Because let me tell you, because here's what we do. A lot of Pentecostals, we pray until we get filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And a lot of us have been taught that is the ultimate. Once you get filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, then you have arrived. And we go, well, hallelujah, we seek and we seek, we pray and we believe. Oh, I want the power of the Holy Ghost. I want those tongues. And then you get them and you start speaking in tongues. You go, well, hallelujah. I've accomplished it. Other people pray for, yes, Lord, bless them. My God, if they just had the faith that I had one time. No. The baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is the first initial evidence, which means that there is the first of many to come. Well, I don't believe that. Let me just blow your mind, and here we go. Don't point at nobody. But how many people do you know who speak in tongues but mean as a snake? How many people do you know that speak in tongues but also speak with a forked tongue? How many people do you know who speak in tongues on Sunday but then drop it like it's hot on Friday? How many do you know who speak in tongues one time, but then lay down with anybody that comes along? Oh, that don't happen. Well, hey, listen, I'm telling you that just because you speak in tongues every once in a while don't mean that you're full of the Holy Ghost. I can talk about the 9 gifts of the Spirit because the gifts are more important. The fruit is more important than the gifts. We got to understand that when the gift of the Holy Ghost comes in, when the fire of the Holy Ghost comes in, it will cause you to change your behavior when you are full of the Holy Ghost. The church needs a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, my cousins were here during our revival, and they've never been to our church, and they were, thank y'all for treating them good. Y'all treat everybody good usually, and y'all treated them real good. Here's what she told me, and they're from a holiness church. They said, Ronnie, I can't tell you the last time we've been in a service like this. I was like, well, thank God that you got here. But they said, do y'all have service like this? I said, we have it a lot like this. I can't say it's every service like this, but a lot of times it's that way. And I believe it's because people are hungry for the Holy Ghost, and we're just stupid enough to let the Holy Ghost move and let the Holy Ghost manifest himself in a real way that causes... I don't know about you, but I don't want to live... I cannot live the Christian life that God has for me without being filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost. The church as a whole needs to get on fire for God. Until it really gets on fire for God, and until it does, there will never be revival. Point number two is this. Let's talk about the fire for a moment. Let's take a few moments and observe a few facts about fire. First of all, fire is hot. Oh, that's real deep, isn't it? And the closer you get to something that is on fire, the hotter you will get. See, the problem is, let me tell you what happens when you try to serve God from afar. When you serve God from afar, you try to warm yourself by the world's fire. My God, somebody hear me. You try to warm yourself by the world's fire. Let me give you, you want Bible? You want case in point? How about Peter? When he denied Jesus, and the Bible said he warmed himself by the other fire. He warmed himself because he was cold. People are cold, and they're looking for a fire in one way or another. And if they can't get it in the presence of God, if they can't get it in the house of God, then they will look elsewhere where they can find some kind of fire. And the problem is they're looking for strange fire, but the only true fire is the fire of the Holy Ghost. Because the world can only warm you for so long. But the warmth that I'm talking about with the Holy Ghost is something that will keep you through thick and thin, through the good and the bad, through the ups and the downs, through the ins and the outs, through sickness and in health. It will keep you warm. So quit trying to serve the Lord so far from the fire. Well, Pastor, I'm scared of it. Now listen. That's legitimate. That's legitimate. I know people who are scared of fire. I know people who are scared of water. I know people who are scared of everything. I know people who are scared to go out of their house. You know, and if you are scared of it, it will consume you. And it will keep you. There's a lady that I know, I won't call her name. Used to go to our church many years ago, but she has gotten to such fear that she can't even get out of her house. And I don't even know. Nothing's ever happened to her. She's never been mugged. I don't know. Fear has come on her. And let me tell you something. She can't get close to people. She can't get the warmth that she needs because she's in prison in what she calls safe. You know, I remember years ago in Blunchtown, there was a little girl there named Shanna. And she came up for prayer. I said, "Baby, do you want the Holy Ghost?" She said, "No, I don't." She said, "You know how it does, my daddy. And I don't want to act like my daddy." And I understand that. Some of y'all don't want to act like me. Some of you don't want to act, you know, and I have, to, you know, every once in a while, they won't make fun, but, you know, some of our teenagers, they'll shout like some of us shout. And I go, "Y'all keep it up. Because God going to make you shout just like that. Y'all keep it up." Well, I tell you, and I hear some of your religious people, they ought not do that. I would rather them mimic the Holy Ghost and mimic church than mimic the things that are in the world. Yes, sir. I'm not offended. At least they know what it is. Come on, somebody. I had somebody tell me just the other day, and they go to a quote-unquote Pentecostal church. He said, "I'm afraid that my children are going to grow up in this church and never know what a true move of God is. I would rather explain what the move of God is than never have to explain it because it never happens in the church. It never happens in my life. I would rather have to explain that it is the power of God. I would rather explain that it is a physical experience. It is a physical response to a supernatural spiritual stimulus." Fire is hot. My God, I should have waited and preached this on Sunday. I just put a little something together for you tonight. Fire necessities. It takes three things to make fire. It takes fuel, which is you. You. Then it takes something else. It takes oxygen of the Holy Ghost. And then it takes something else, ignition. Getting close to a heat source, which is God. You know, sometimes people ask me, "Pastor, why do you do some of the things?" I don't know sometimes. You know, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Those of you who've been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and sometimes you just go, "Whoa, glory." You know, I don't even know sometimes. It just, you know, it's like, you know, somebody go, oh, that was a rabbit that run over your grave. No, that was the Holy Ghost who crossed my back. You know, something just bear witness with you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hey, you know, you see somebody and somebody says something that agrees with your spirit. And you know what it does? It really just makes your baby jump. Let me go there for a minute. It just makes your baby jump. Because you're pregnant with something. You're pregnant with something. See, those of you that ain't pregnant with nothing, you talk about God, the Holy Ghost, you talk about stuff, it ain't nothing. But when you're pregnant with something, when it connects with what you're pregnant with, something inside of you jumps and makes you go, hey, hallelujah. It makes your baby jump. Remember when Mary come to Elizabeth and when she touched Elizabeth, she had Jesus on the inside of her. John was in the other side, and the Bible said that he was baptized in the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. The baby jumped. My God, make our baby jump tonight. And if you ain't pregnant with something from God, let me tell you how you get pregnant. PG, it means that you have to be intimate with God. Listen. I'm not trying to be graphic. My wife's almost on the back row. There ain't no possible way that her and I can conceive this far apart. Right? We got to get close. We got to get close. We got to get stuff out of the way. We got to get stuff out of the way so that we can become intimate. It's all right, Jesse. Don't. It's all right. I'm okay. I'm going to stay right there, baby. She's over here as red as can be and just looking at just Steve. And Steve's going, just pat her. It's okay, baby. It's okay. And I just want to remind you, you had three, but let me go on. So you know what I'm talking about. You cannot get pregnant with the Lord unless you're intimate with God. And some of us don't want to get intimate with God. Amen. Because you know what happens when you get intimate with God? You got to get naked. And you can't hide nothing. Come on, somebody. You got to take off the control top pantyhose. Got to take the girdle off. You got to take the belt and the pant. And everything just rolls out. You know what I'm talking about? You got to get naked before God. And when that happens, that means that there's no hiding. There's no hiding from God. You can't hide behind your issues. You can't hide behind your coat. You can't hide behind your title. You can't hide behind your family crest. You can't hide behind your surname. You can't hide behind your church. You have to get pregnant. If you're going to get pregnant, you got to get intimate with God. My God, make our babies jump tonight, God. So let me tell you something. A fire attracts things to it. You ever seen a big fire? Everybody stops to see what's going on. It attracts things. Simply burning embers attract nothing. And I would say that 90% of the church is that way. Just embers. The embers is what used to be. You once were on fire. You're still on fire, but you're just waiting for something to ignite it. And that's why, oh, Jesus, God, help me. Most of the time, now, let me preface this because somebody's going to get offended. There's nothing wrong with going to different churches for different stuff and, you know, and participating and getting in where what's going on with their church, you know. I mean, Tommy's going to be in Lake City, I think, in March or April. And if I'm in the area, I'm planning on going and being a part of that, you know, on those nights he's going to be there. And I told him to send us the information and we'd put it out so y'all would know. It's about 2 hours away at Lake City Church of God. But the problem with a lot of people is all we have is embers burning. And we just keep going from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting. And we become meeting junkies because we're looking for fuel that is external instead of fuel that is internal. Ooh, that's good preaching right there. I want to have internal fuel. That I've been worshiping, I've been praising. I ain't got to wait. I ain't got to let somebody else orchestrate it. I don't have to let somebody else work it up. I don't have to let somebody. I want to be filled with the fire of Almighty God that warms my soul in a cold world. Can you say amen? A fire attracts people and their attention. But let me tell you what a small fire will attract. A little old small fire, it attracts insects. But you get that fire hot enough, them insects will leave. Mm-hmm. See, listen. I ain't gonna go there. Let me just say this. As a fire burns, it consumes. And maybe that's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of being consumed. And that's exactly what you need to do, is to be consumed. Less of me, more of him. Less of you and more of him. That's where we need to be. Can you say amen? As a fire burns, it consumes fuel. It consumes oxygen. A fire cannot burn unless it is consuming something. And I say, God, consume me. Consume me, God. Hallelujah. There are a lot of people that are literally afraid to get on fire for God because they're afraid of what God will consume in them. What's it going to cost me? What's it going to cost me? You know, I've had people ask me, Pastor, I'm not down with that tithing thing. That tithing thing's 10%. What can I get for 8%? Y'all would be surprised with stuff, the comments I get. And I try to keep a straight face. Like the one guy, the guy asked me when we were on the Daniel fast, is chicken meat? Yeah. How do you keep a straight face? I just went, because I thought he was kidding. He ain't kidding. I said, yes, it's meat. Well, my wife told me it was poultry. I said, come here, let me pray for you. Lord, feel this emptiness, Jesus. But we're afraid of what it's going to consume in us. What will it cost me? I don't know. I don't know what it's going to cost you. All I can say is what it's cost me. And I'll tell you what, sometimes the cost changes depending upon my attitude about what is being consumed. Amen. You remember when God told Abraham to take his son and offer him on the altar? And right before he did it, he said, wait! And God's prepared an altar or a sacrifice for himself in the thicket a ram was caught. There's been times that God told me to sacrifice something of mine on the altar, and he didn't stop me from doing it. I just had to kill that jack. I had to kill that joker, right? Amen? So I don't know what it's going to cost for you. But here's the thing. If you're willing, God will never ask you, or God will never consume that area of your life that is needed to fulfill the promise that he's given you. So if God consumes it, let it go. Because if God consumes it, he already knows it's not needed for what he has planned for your life. Amen? So let it go. Now, I know this is not good English, but I'm going to say it anyway. The deader something is, the better it burns. Man, I'll tell you, there's one thing I look forward to every after Christmas celebration. I've got a burn barrel. And after Christmas, I like putting my old burned up dead Christmas tree in that barrel and watching it go up. First time I ever did it, kind of scared me, I ain't gonna lie. I ran and grabbed the water hose. Like, oh, Lord Jesus. That thing got hot. It's like, whew, and quick. And it was gone. Oh, it was dead. It was dead. And the debtor that I am to my flesh, the easier and the hotter I will burn. You ever see folks that, man, if God ever moves on them, you're like, boy, you know that was God because they ain't moved in 100 years. And I'll tell you what it is. They're not dead to self yet. Because when you're not dead to self, I'll never forget the first time that me and Sherry went to a charismatic church. You know, we were Pentecostal. We went to a charismatic church. I believe it was in between Destin and Panama City. Remember we went to that prophet church or whatever that was? What was it? Bill Hammond. We went to that church and we was out there and we was clapping. They were doing praise and worship. We was clapping. And Sherry said, honey. I said, what? She said, I just feel like I want to kick my feet. I said, you better not. She said, I ain't. We went a little bit longer, and I leaned down. I go, girl, I just feel like I want to kick my feet. She said, you better not. I said, I'm not. And I hate to say we didn't. Why? Well, because I'm not going to be charismatic. I'm not going to be. What? I wasn't dead enough. What are people going? Nobody told you, did they? Because you was crazy already. Everybody knew that. You done got dead, didn't you, girl? So I said, I wasn't dead enough. But then the Holy Spirit whooped me. Now, I'm going to tell you, ain't no whooping like a Holy Ghost whooping. There ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, but ain't no whooping like a Holy Ghost whooping. Because you can't get away from the Holy Ghost whooping. Because I wasn't dead enough. I was still concerned about what people going to think about me. I was still concerned, was what they going to call me charismatic? Because I ain't charismatic. Are you hearing me? And some of you feel like sometimes, you know, now listen to me. There is an order. I always tell people it's kind of like ordered chaos in a Pentecostal church. I mean, there are some things that are just not, that, you know, and well, Pastor, what if I get out of order? Don't be offended. I'll have somebody sit you down. And there are some people who are too afraid of that. And that's what you always have in the fire of God, right? Because there's always the potential for the fire to get out of where it's supposed to be. My God, that's good right there. I have to put that in my notes. And so what we've done, instead of letting the fire blaze where it's supposed to blaze, we've just tried to dampen the fire. We've tried to put a water hose on the fire and just shut it off. No, baby. It's in the barrel. Let it go. Let it go. I remember one time we had a person that was going to give out a message in tongues. I was in the old church. Some of y'all remembered. It was right in the middle of me preaching. I was right in the middle of something, and they started to give a message in tongues. I said, hold that. Pastor, didn't that embarrass them? I don't know and don't care. And then when I got to where I felt like I was supposed to be, and I said, now give it. And then they said, yatta-da-ba-ba-ho. I'd be so embarrassed. And that's the problem. We're so embarrassed that we quench the Spirit. I'm not talking about getting stupid, because Pentecostals can get stupid. I mean, you know, some of you, I don't know if y'all have ever been in any of those stupid services. I've been in a few of them. You know, people barking like dogs. I've been in them. Like, man, I'm going to come over and cast the devil out what I'm about to do. Some of y'all that have been around a long time. We've had some in the old church. We've had some doozies. I remember one guy, he was just going nuts. And it wasn't God. I set him on the altar. And I leaned down to his ear and I said, shut up. Ain't God in that. Shut it up. He stopped, looked at me. What? I said, you heard what I said. That ain't God. Shut up. But that's what we've done. We're so afraid of the fire of God. We've thrown out the baby with the bathwater. My God, somebody hear me. We're so afraid of letting the fire get outside of what we... Listen, the spirit is subject to the prophet. What does that mean? That means you can... You know, I just can't have it. Yes, you can. Yes. I mean, sometimes it comes on me, and if I wanted to, I could do it. I remember I was preaching at a church, and I wasn't sure if they spoke in tongues. And it come on me, and I was preaching. I said, and I want you to... Say, hey! And I was preaching again, and it started welling up in me, you know. And I said, yay! You remember the church, don't you? And then I looked at one of our members happened to be there, and I kind of leaned down and go, they speak in tongues here? And the pastor must have heard me. My wife said, I can't whisper. So I tried to whisper, but the pastor heard me go, yeah, we speak in tongues. I said, shakatarabaho shakataya. You know, some people go, well, I just couldn't help it, Pastor. Yes, you can. But the problem is we've gotten so scared of being out of order and gotten so scared that we don't let the Holy Ghost move in our personal lives. And if the Holy Ghost only moves on you in church, it probably ain't the Holy Ghost. That's called attention seeking. If you don't ever have one of these at your house, you probably ain't going to get one at the church. If you don't ever do one of these in your house, you probably ain't ever shouldn't do one in church. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you worship in private, you're going to worship in public. Come on, somebody. If you have private victories, then you can have public victories and let everybody celebrate with you. Deader something is, the better it burns. God, just make me dead to myself. Can you say amen? Now listen, green wood with a lot of sap in it does not burn very well. It's too wet. But a tree that's been dead for some time will burn readily. And what do you mean by that? We got them in our church, and I could point some of y'all out. But, you know, it don't take much to get them going. You know, you just mentioned Jesus, and they go, yes. Probably because they're dead. And some of our folks, the Holy Ghost could come down, slap them four times upside the head, and they go, I believe I felt something. Because they're not dead enough. Amen? Listen, if there was a time, oh, Holy Spirit, help me. If there was a time when it wouldn't take nothing for your hand to go up and begin to worship, and your eyes begin to water, and you begin to speak in your heavenly language, but now it takes a stick of dynamite, honey, you need to die again. You need to die again. I remember some of the old saints. Listen, it shouldn't take 45 minutes for you to get into the spirit. It shouldn't. It shouldn't take that long. I know sometimes you gotta process the stuff that you've been through today and this week, and sometimes it takes a little time, but it shouldn't take you 45 minutes, because if you're dead, honey, when the fire hits you, yes, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if it takes you that long to get into the presence of God, then maybe you just need to die out to self. Let God show you where you're not dead enough in whatever area it is, so that you can become dead, so that you can begin to burn again with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The longer something has been lying around dead, the better it will burn. The longer someone has been in church, the less sap they should have. The less wetness they should have. You know, when you come into church, sometimes you don't know how to act. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I understand some young Christians. They don't know what to do with the Holy Ghost. They just go. I remember, old boy, I was preaching one time. He'd just gotten saved. And it, you know, it was old, the old church. The place was packed, man. And everybody was, amen and amen. And I was preaching up a storm. And this old boy, he just got saved. He was on the front row. He jumped up. He goes, you go, boy. He didn't know the church. He didn't know Christianese. He didn't know the church language, you know. I knew what he meant. Hallelujah. But some of us have gotten at ease in Zion. Some of us, my God have mercy. Some of us, the outside has burned, but the inside is still cold. And let me tell you something. You know, those of you who know about fire, you can take that poker. You knock the outside of the edges off of that burnt. And the next thing you know, that thing will start blazing up again. A flame will come. So don't be surprised if God takes you down some bumpy roads of a poker, hitting you, trying to get you on fire again. Trying to get the crust off of you. Trying to get the crust off of your life. Because you once was a fire. You once used to burn the flame of God, but now you just crust it over. God help me not to be that way. God help me not to be that way. For hundreds of years, the best fuel that we have is called fossil fuel. Where does fossil fuel come from? Science tells us that it comes from the remains of ancient dinosaurs and vegetation. Things that died thousands of years ago. It burns really well. We read our scripture tonight. All three of it said, we need the fire. For God is a consuming fire. God, consume me. Consume me. Come on, stand to your feet tonight. Holy Spirit, consume us tonight. Come on, begin just to lift your hands up and let the Lord just begin to speak to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.